Thank you. Welcome all of you. I begin. I thought that there is one thing which Baba has been repeatedly saying in his murlis from time to time, and that is, Baba has been saying that we should pass with honors. What does it exactly mean, pass with honors? In my days, when I used to study in school, in higher secondary school, there used to be a board on which the names of those students were written who obtained the highest marks, who stood first class first. That was those honorable students. That is different. And similarly, when people study in university, they do honors in certain subjects. BA honors in economics, for example. BSc honors in chemistry. That is another way. But what does it mean when Baba says that we have to pass with honors? So I did some churning on it, and I would like to share with you what I thought about it, because if we just collect from Murlis what Baba has been saying from time to time, all of us want to pass with honors. No one wants to fail in any of these subjects. We have four main subjects, and each one of them we have to pass with honors. In the first instance, what does peace pass with honors mean? So I thought there are four main characteristics. One is, Baba has been saying that there are some people who do not learn when they study Murlis. They do not put into practice the niyam and maryada, the spiritual discipline, the spiritual commandments which Baba gives us. So, when some such adverse circumstances come and they are shocked with their result, then only they learn. Thokar khakar seekhte hain. Baba says, some accident takes place in their life. Maybe mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Some such like shocking experience they have. And after that they learn. They learn in a bitter way, not in a normal way. So those who pass with honors, they don't learn this way. You have just to give a hint to them and they pick it up. So easily, naturally, without much difficulty, without much struggle. Not that they fall and then get up and then again they have a fall, not like that. But without any bitter experience, without any mental turmoil, they put into practice what Baba teaches us. So that is one of the things, one of the signs of those who pass with honors. So this is one thing which we should take in our mind, that whatever Baba is teaching us, we put it into practice and in a natural way, easy way. Baba says it is easy yoga, easy knowledge. This study is very easy. He is the greatest teacher and he makes all this knowledge easy for us. This is one thing. Then Baba says that there are some students whose pattern of life, whose behavior, whose attitudes, whose outlook is ordinary, laukic, worldly, not otherworldly. You can say ordinary, not extraordinary. But those who make everything extraordinary, they change things into the art. They give excellence to whatever they do. Those will be the students who pass with honors. Whatever they learn it excellently. When a teacher gives marks, after seeing the answer book of an examinee, of a student, then he says, satisfactory, not satisfactory, ordinary, mediocre, he may give any kind of remark. But in the case of some students who are very brilliant, who do it very nicely, he may say excellent, extraordinary. So, those who pass with honors, whatever they put into practice, they do it with heart and mind and soul, fully, so that they take it to the point of excellence, make it into an art. That is another sign of those who will pass with honors. There are some whom you have to ask again and again to do a thing. Do this, then they don't do it. You have to remind this. You have to remind them, didn't I ask you to do this and not to do that? Why you do it again and again? They will say, next time we won't do. But they will do it again. Because of their hard sanskaras, they repeat mistakes, commit the same errors. And again you have to remind them. Again and again they do the same old thing. So those are not passed with honors. You just tell them once, they get it naturally and easily. And you have not to go on teaching the same thing number of times, over and over again. They say those become deities or devis and devtas whom you only once have to tell it. That's all. They understand it so well, so clearly. Then Baba says, if someone learns something after losing one's honor, after getting dishonored, feeling insulted, suppose someone has been committing a mistake again and again, and you tell it in the class or before a number of students in a group of sisters and brothers, that this person breaks up the spiritual discipline, does not observe the spiritual bylaws which Baba is teaching us. We are very, fed up with it, or we don't know how to teach him again because he does not follow it. And if, after having been given this kind of shock treatment, one learns and changes one's course, after losing the honor in a dishonorable way, after losing their self-respect and respect, if we learn, that is not passing with honors. To pass with honors means never you give chance to anybody to complain against you, that you are a bad person, that you do not obey Baba's maryadas. Again and again we have been telling, and still you don't mind, you don't understand, it is very hard to put up what you are doing. So that is not passing with honors. So these are the four signs of a person who passes with honors. Now let me take the four subjects. What does it mean when we say he passed in honors, passed with honors in knowledge, passed with honors in yoga, passed with honors in divine qualities, passed with honors in service, and so on. Now I first take up passed with honors, the godly knowledge. You see, one of the subjects. Baba says there should be complete faith, 100%. You can't say I have 99% faith or 85% faith. I understand this is Sangam Yuga and this is the time when God reincarnates and establishes the new golden age in world order. In this I have full faith. But this world cycle is of 5,000 years or more or less. I am yet to determine, to understand it well. I have no faith in this. I am a bit shaky in this, because there are other kinds of views, and there are qualified people, great scientists, great scholars, who say the different things. So to me, this period of 5,000 years is very small. So this does not go into my head. The rest of the things are okay, I believe in them. So you have faith, but you can't say that you have 100% faith. But if you want to pass with honors, You must have faith in every comma, full stop, you see, in all the points of knowledge which Baba teaches us. There should not be a single point, a single topic, a single sub-subject of this knowledge in which our faith may yet be incomplete. We may be on the borderline or this line, on this side or that side. Or we have faith today and no faith tomorrow. Our faith may not be such shaky type of faith. Firm faith, which has firm foundations, unshakable faith. So that there is not even an iota of doubt, not even a little margin of doubt, not the least. Complete faith, as we say. Faith can move mountains, they say. If we want to make progress in spiritual knowledge, in all our spiritual progress, then faith is the first thing. Therefore, some people say religion is a faith. Faith is the most important thing. A man is as his faith is. If you tell me the faith of a person, I can tell you what kind of man he is. Because the way he speaks, the way his outlook is, the way his attitudes are, they all spring from his faith. So if I know the faith, then I can tell you what the branches and sub-branches of that faith are, which make that man. His total way of walking, of talking, of eating, of sitting, of writing, of speaking, of doing whatever what he does, depends upon his faith, his philosophy, or his understanding. That is what makes his attitude and outlook. And that is what determines his behavior. So if I have faith in Baba's knowledge, then only I can say that it has influenced me totally. Then only there will be complete change in me, as Baba wants me to change. If there is some single point in which I have little faith, not full faith, you see, then I cannot change completely. I cannot become 16 degrees celestial, you know, maybe 15 degrees, maybe 15 and a half degrees, depending upon how much faith I have, the percentage of faith. And then the sanskaras which I had before I came to this jnana, before I came to this knowledge, which I may say was the period of darkness of my life, the period of ignorance, the period of false knowledge, perverted knowledge, or maybe partly right, partly wrong knowledge, but however you may like to call it. That kind of sanskara should not remain. If sometimes I speak godly knowledge, and sometimes I begin to say certain things which are from the past, which I used to believe, then maybe ritualistic, maybe superstitious, maybe certain things which are illogical, irrational, certain things which change my outlook, make it a little bit negative, influence me in a negative way, then that means I don't have full faith. That means I can't pass with honors this subject of knowledge. Because it is not a theoretical subject, it has a practical application in life. Just as we have theory of physics and we have applied physics, every subject has got its application in fields of life. Similarly, knowledge also has its practical applications. And therefore, what happens is knowledge will completely change me. And it can completely change me. If it does completely change me, then none of my old sanskaras of ignorance, of perverted knowledge would remain. It would have gone. When light comes, darkness vanishes. Knowledge is light. If that has really come and fully come and brilliantly come, then there should not be anything from the darkness still lurking in my mind. Which, in other words, means that everything I do, everything I say, the way I am, it should be alaukik, not laukik. It should be spiritual. It should not be based on body consciousness. It should now reflect a change. If it does not reflect the change, and on the other hand it shows that I am the same old being, change has not yet occurred, that means I am not passing it with honors. Maybe I am a middle class student, mediocre student, not brilliant student. But if I want to pass with honors, there should be complete change from laukik to alaukik, from body based or materialistic to spiritual, from common to extraordinary. That change must occur. And then everything should be according to maryada. If I begin to laugh, how I begin to laugh as I used to, or there is change in my way of laughing also. If I at all, somebody is telling me something and I feel sympathy towards that person, is it that it is happening to me in the form of a pain, or I am just listening to it in order to help the person, still myself remaining unaffected by it? Because Baba says neither cause pain to anyone, nor you should cause pain to yourself. So everything should be changed. My way of life, lifestyle should change. It should be according to maryada. That is the main thing. Maryada. Nothing against maryada. There are certain articles of food. They were very savory, very tasty. I was very fond of them. Now if I still do the same thing, oh, there have been so many days and I have not yet taken any ice cream or chocolate or chewing gum or this or that thing, you know, that sort of thing. Then if it comes to my mind that I should take it again, if I feel a little bit of attraction to it, it means I have not changed my lifestyle, my pattern of life, my thinking. Still there are some old habits left in me. So as long as they are there, I am not passing with honors. And then Ichha matram avidya. There should be no desire. Baba says there should be positive desires, holy desires. Even to attain liberation, redemption, or beatitude, mukti and jivan mukti is also a desire. To become good is a desire. To change from negative to positive is a desire. If these desires were not there, there would be no spiritual effort. No study, no student life. But Baba says student life is the best. These desires have to be there. When we say that there should be no desires, it means no such desires as are based on ignorance, body consciousness, negative thinking, you see, which are there due to attractions of certain articles of vision, of audience, of touch, you see, related to our physical organs. We have no desires for them. So, Ichha Matram Avidya, this person does not require anything. I mean, in the sense, he is not having any ambitions, dependence on such other things. And then, the period of our life before joining this knowledge was called Bhakti Marg. That was the period of worship. Now this is the period of yoga. Now from bhakta, we are becoming yogis. So nothing from bhakti should be left. We should not be engaging some such kind of activities or talk or behavior which is based on bhakti. You see. Because now has dawned in our mind the spiritual knowledge. When knowledge is there, bhakti should be over. Knowledge should replace bhakti. The more it has replaced, the more it means I am becoming knowledgeful. And those who want to pass with honors, in them this process should be very rapid, very quick, and very earnest. So these are some of the requirements requisites which are essential for passing with honors in the subject of godly knowledge. Now I take up the second subject, the divine qualities. What does it mean when we say that we have to pass with honors in the second subject, divine qualities? Baba says that you should pay attention to your own transformation. Don't look to the habits, the negativities, the bad sanskaras about the others. Swadarshan, not pardarshan. Don't see bad things in others, shortcomings in others. If all your attention is on shortcomings of others, then you will also be dyed in the same color. You will also become like that. If you want to change and if you want to have the divine qualities in full measure, the very first requisite is that you should pay attention to your own change first. When you change, the world will change. Don't try to point out your finger at others, saying that this person has this shortcoming, that person has this bad habit, that man has that bad sanskara, and all the time looking towards others. So, swadarshan, be introvert, look into yourself, and pay attention to what shortcomings are in you, and what good points are also in you. Make use of your good points, and if whatever are the shortcomings or bad things in you, bad habits in you, try to remove them. Because the time left is very small. If you pay attention to the bad things in others, then you will be losing much precious time. And the time left for your own change will be very, very less. So within that time, you won't be able to change. So, swaparivartan, self-change. Not looking to the bad things in others. Then Baba says, Dhrida Sankalp, determination, strong willpower. If you want to have divine qualities, the most important thing is, whatever you decide, decide it with a strong will, that I will certainly have this divine quality. If you don't have the strong willpower, strong determination, then you will find this process of having divine qualities in yourself is very slow. You can't pass with honors within the time limit, whatever is there before us. So this is very essential. Strong resolve, make up your mind, you will do it. Don't be hesitant. Don't say, I will try to have it. That means it shows that there is no strong will behind it. Then, out of the 36 divine qualities which generally are given to us, the list, I think tyag, renunciation and sacrifice, giving up, that is perhaps the most important. If we stick to so many things and we don't know how to give up certain things, then those to which divine qualities we want to cling to stick to, we won't be able to do it. If we want to have patience, we have to give up our impatient nature. If we don't know how to give up, we don't know how to become. We can't have patience unless and until we know how to give up the impatience. Both the things are necessary. So giving up, renouncing certain things. The first thing is renunciation. Renunciation of this material world. You see. And the things which are ephemeral, which are transitory, which are changing every moment, which don't stay for long. And the end result of which is dukkh, pain, suffering. All the founders of religions have at least one conclusion among themselves, which is common to them all. It is that the material things after which we are running in order to capture them, to have them, to possess them. They are changing so rapidly, all of them. Change is the law of nature. And by their very nature, they will change. They won't stay for long. They are all short-lived. I am talking of the end result. Maybe certain things which we eat are very relishing, very savory. We like them. Their taste is very good. And we therefore want to have very often or more and more of them. But you will find that the end result is painful. It is a long philosophy. It requires explanation, perhaps sometimes. But we find that the end results of all these things is ultimately pain. And how can we give it up unless and until we have this quality of tyag? Baba says, tyag se bhag banta hai. If you just renounce, then only you become fortunate. You become fortunate by giving up, not by grumbling, by possessing, by snatching things from others, by building a big storehouse of things, keeping things in large measure and in large quantity. You see, it's not that you become rich that way. That will never give you satisfaction, which is the greatest achievement in life, because happiness comes from satisfaction. Satisfaction is the mother of happiness. Happiness cannot come unless and until you have satisfaction. And satisfaction comes more and more, the more and more you renounce, you feel happy, that the burden is off your chest. The more you run after them, try to possess them, store them, and before you make use of them, your body, you relinquish your body and you are no more. And the whole life has been spent in collecting them and in storing them. All the effort has been lost. Maybe it will perhaps be used by your children or by somebody, perhaps, who knows. And you have gone by that time. So, this tyag, this gives us good luck. When we say good luck to you, how can there be good luck to him? You see, unless and until he knows renunciation, there cannot be good luck. Maybe transitorily he may have good luck. He may have something, but you will find that will not stay with him. Those for example, they say that Christ or Buddha, they were kings without crown. How they were kings without crown? Because they renounced. They were ruling the minds of so many people. Why? How? It is because they had renounced. It didn't require anything, didn't demand anything. You will find that that friend, that relative, that colleague in your workplace is the greatest burden on you, who is so demanding. You fulfill his one demand and the other demand is ready before that is fulfilled. You will get fed up with the person who is more and more demanding, you see. You will be more and more easy with a person who gives up, does not demand. Can I use this thing? Oh, he will say, nothing to ask. Yes, you can use it. It is yours. You feel happy with such a man. And if on the other hand he say, oh, this is mine, don't use it. How can you use it? Use your own things, you see. And when he requires that thing and you give him, then he feels happy. So you find it very difficult to live with this person. He is selfish, you see. What is a selfish person? A selfish person wants everything for himself. Nothing to spare for others. No care for others, you see. Let whatever happens to them. He is not mindful of that. No concern for others. Others may be poor. They may have not even one day's meal, one time meal. Doesn't matter, you see. No botheration. But those who want to give up their things for others, you see, how happy they feel. How contented they feel. How satisfactory they feel. I think the real happiness comes from two things. One is purity and the other is renunciation. Without purity and renunciation, if a person says, I am happy, he is telling a lie. I don't believe that he is really happy. You see, Maybe he is drunk at this moment and is telling the lie under the effect of that kind of thing. There cannot be any happiness. So out of that list of divine qualities, renunciation. I want to lay my full emphasis upon the renunciation. You want this, you want this, you want this. Oh, I want nothing. I am happy with whatever I have. The condition in which I am, I depend upon Baba. Whatever comes to me naturally, I am making efforts. Whatever happens, I am happy with it, you see. And if I can share my things with others, I am happy with it. That gives the real happiness, real jaya of life. When you feel that the other one is satisfied, you are more satisfied, because he is satisfied. So this tyag is very essential. And those who pass with honors, they must have this quality. And in that tyag, one of the tyag is for name and fame. It is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous, I tell you. Why Baba again and again says name and fame, give up name and fame? Actually, this is the greatest disease, of which there are very few doctors, and those also in Brahma Kumari's institution, you see. Because of the whole turmoil in the society, is because there are people who want name and fame. They want to become prime minister, want to become president, they want to become this, want to become that. The boss, the big boss, the big brother, and all this they want to become. And they want to pull the legs of others, kick others out, you see. Want everything for themselves, name and fame. Much of the problem will be solved if people give up this bad habit of name and fame. I think a whole book can be written how the many ills of the society have sprung from this name and fame. Because those who are addicted to this addiction, you know, name and fame, like a person who is addicted to alcohol, if he does not get one or two pegs, a kick or two, he feels a depression, you know. Similarly, a person who is addicted to this kind of thing, if you don't pray them today or tomorrow or a day after tomorrow, 2-3 days, you don't give him praise. This man is very serviceable. He has opened so many centers. He is Baba's useful hand. He is very helpful in Baba's service, so on and so forth. You will find that after 3 days, maybe maximum 4 days, you will find depression in him, you see. Because name and fame is worse than alcohol, you see. We give up alcohol. If we don't give up this kind of addiction, don't think that we have given up alcohol because we are Brahma Kumaris and Brahma Kumars. We are non-alcoholics. But this is another kind of alcohol which some of us are taking. If we are taking that alcohol, we still are alcoholics. You see? And what we say is, it is all for seva, for service. Being proud of service. Service should give us humility rather than pride. That I am doing this, I am doing that, I will do that, I will do this, and therefore you all give help to me, contribute money, come with me, and do whatever I want, I ask you to do. Why? Why? Because it is Baba's service. Actually, you want your name and fame, and you are collecting us just to become guinea pigs for you, and to help you, and you just want to rise on our shoulders. And say, show your hand that you have done it, you see. It's not like that. Service should give us humility. We do it because it is in our very nature. Baba says, I am world's humblest servant. Children, I am your most obedient servant. You must have heard these words of Baba in Murli. Dear sweet children, I am your most obedient servant, the highest authority, you know. He says that I am your most obedient servant. Then who am I? Who am I? The servant of servants, you see. Rather than I should say, I am this, I am that, you know, that kind of habit. So this tyag, again this tyag, will bring us happiness. And then only we can pass with honors, because I will be coming to service also, but I am just dealing it with here, having divine qualities. And then what happens is that in the process of trying to have divine qualities in my life, what sometimes generally occurs is that I begin to follow the advice of others. Suppose I want to say, this time when I go to Madhuban, I make this contribution. Now here is another person who comes to me and says, you are foolish. Why I am foolish? You are contributing so much, what you are keeping for yourself? You see, tomorrow you fall ill, tomorrow you lose your job, tomorrow this thing happens, that thing happens. You see, he gives us his own advice, with uncalled for advice. Some people give us, there are some consultants, financial advisors, legal advisors, many companies have consultants, but there are some consultants without inviting, without any application, you see. All the time advising you free. Just as we give Baba's knowledge free, they give their advice free, you see. So, it is human nature that if something is free, there are many Hindus here, and they don't say, they say, we are not Christians, we don't want to believe in Christianity. Read the Bible, at least read the Bible, what is the harm with it? You will understand something. No, no, we won't even touch the Bible. But if someone comes very beautifully printed Bible and he stands in the market and gives free, then this man takes, because it is free. When I went to America for the first time in 1971, I gave some literature, presented some literature to someone who was coming to our lectures. He said, what am I to pay for this? I said, it is free. Then he laughed. He said, Mr. Chandar, nothing is free. I said, but this is free. I say this is free. Kehta, you understand what I mean to say? You are giving me free. I know. But somebody has spent on it. So it is not free. You see, that way it is not free. Nothing in this world is free, he said. Nothing in this world is free. But here if a person gives me free advice, I easily take it. Let us use our own mind, you see. If I don't use the head which is on my two shoulders, or between the two shoulders, you see, and use other person's head, so what will happen? I will become that, not me, you see. It means he is sitting in my head, you see. What do you think? So, let me use my own brain, my own wits, understand, and finally decide what I am going to do. Let me not be driven, dumb-driven cattle, being always advised and fed up, being spoon-fed up by others. So, Parmat, Baba says Parmat, the opinion of others, the opinion of others. There is a story in Upanishads. They say that a father had become old and he said, now let me teach my child how to earn, how to make money. And he used to go to the market on Mondays. On Mondays there was a cattle market where people will come with the cows, with buffaloes, with sheep, with goats, and they would sell them. That kind of market. Every Monday, once a week. So he used to go and sell, then purchase some new ones, then after that sell, you see. So he wanted his son to teach, because now he was a grown-up child, he thought that it is time he should learn this. So he asked him, can you just this time go with this she-cow, this cow, calf, and then go to the market and sell? He said, yes, I will try. Then when he was going there to the market, in between that place and market, there was a small jungle, little forest area. So there were three, you see, cheats, a gang of three cheats. They had planned how to cheat people. So one of them came to this child and said, will you sell this lamp? He said, I am prepared to sell, but this is not the lamp, you see. This is the young one of a cow. He said, how you are yet a small child. You don't know even the difference between a lamp and the young one of a cow. How can you sell? He said, no, I know. You see, this is not lamp. This is the young one of a cow. Okay, then he went away. Then the second man came. You are going to the market? He said, yes. What for? To sell this. So I am also prepared to purchase. Why you go to the market? You can sell it to me here. He said, yes. What will you pay? He said, you tell me what would you like to charge for this lamp. He said, but why you say it is lamb? It is not lamb. You see, it is the young one of a cow. He said, why? You don't understand. This is lamb. You see. So now he thought the first man said this, the second man said this. There is some truth. Perhaps I have forgotten what this actually is. You see, I have learned the wrong way. Then the third cheat came and he said, you are really intending to sell this? He said, yes. He said, how much will this you charge for this lamb? He said, oh my dear, this is not lamb, I say. He said, but what is this? It is lamb. You don't understand. It is lamb. He said, this is young one of a cow. Now that man said, okay, you don't want to sell. You are a small child. You haven't yet learned this. I go back. So he had gone a little distance. Then he called this man back. Because he thought, I go to the market, then there also the people will say it is lamb, you see. It is better that I sell it here. Perhaps my father has not trained me well. It is a lamb and he told me it is young one of a cow. Next time when I come, I take better lesson from him. So, I go to the market, I am not able to sell it, then the whole week we have to give the fodder and everything. And then again come to the market next month. I begin to believe those people, you see. So this Paramatma, the opinion of others, Brahma Kumari's institution is not a good institution. It is a small cult, you see. This and that. So I listen to their opinion, I believe in it. Don't use my own intellect, don't argue the whole thing. Do not understand the reason. I just accept it. Then what happens? I am deprived of the whole benefit. This is what has been happening to many people. Many people, they give their experience that they didn't come to this institution because a friend of theirs had told them, don't go to that institution. It's a good institution. They mesmerize you. They put collyrium in your eyes, you know. At least not chilies in your eyes. And this thing, that thing and the other thing, they say all these nonsense things. And I believe them the way they say. So, Paramatma, these views and opinions of others, they are very dangerous. So, what happens is, anger, you want to give up anger, you want to become krodh mukt. How is it possible? Even the great sages and seers also, they were not without anger. You just read the whole Bible, read the story of the Jews, and God, even God, it is said clearly, God also was, Jehovah also was angry at very many times. So how can you give up anger? You want to become greater than God? You see. Anger is necessary, my dear friend. Without anger, you can't live for 1 month in this world. You see. That is how they will tell you. Then you will say, whatever he says is correct. Why? Because when you go to your office, the other colleagues talk to you in a way and behave in a way that you really feel to shout. And the version of that man who said that without anger we cannot live, that comes to your mind. He was correct. Baba says become without anger. That is just an ideal, hypothetical. It is not realistic, not pragmatic. I want something pragmatic, not something which is idealistic. You just try to rationalize. Little bit of anger is necessary. You come to the conclusion. How you came to this conclusion? You see, because somebody put this idea in your mind, without anger you can't live. You are a householder, you have to bring up your children, to educate them, to look after their health and everything. You must be little bit greedy. Without greed, you can't fulfill all your requirements, you see. And if you want to become greedy, you have also to become a little bit dishonest. And after becoming dishonest, you have to become a little bit insincere, unfaithful, you see. This and that. So where are those divine qualities? Gone. Gone to the winds. If you just act upon paramatma, you can't have divine qualities. Because people give you diversions. They want to bring you to the wrong way, to the wrong conclusion. If in this world there are men and women, two sexes, if there are two sexes, why should not there be sex? Jagdish bhai, you are telling something unnatural, something wrong with your head. You see. These Brahma Kumaris have taken the grey portion and the white portion out of your head. You see, and only the skull is left. That is why you can't think. It is an ordinary thing. You can't understand how you were born. Your mother and father, isn't it? You came from heaven. And you say there should be no sex lust, no this, no this. What are you talking about? Only daydreaming and dreaming. It is a dreaming philosophy. It is not realistic philosophy. They will argue, you see. But you understand, if you, all the divine qualities, you see, they will be gone. If you just try to act upon that. Because whatever God says is totally opposite to what people have been saying. If you just want to bring about a new world order, this old world order, the whole of it, lock, stock and barrel, it has to go, you see. Nothing of it has to be left. Not even a remnant, not even small thing out of it has to be left to remind us of this past old rotten civilization. If a little bit of it is left, the thorny thing is left. A little thorn in the flesh will create pus. It will give you septic, you see. Don't think it is a little thorn. Little, little makes the mighty mickle, you see. It is not that little is little. Little, little. You just put a bucket, empty bucket, under a tap, which is just giving tung, 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 drop. And you put it in the night and get up in the morning, it will be full. Little drops of water make the mighty oceans. Little grains of sand make the mighty deserts. Little, little. Just a little matchstick. And if you just put it to something of cloth, something which catches fire, which is inflammable. What happens? It was a little flame and it raised the whole building to flames, you see. So, little poison can kill the 6-foot man, you see. The small pills which those people who commit self-suicide, you know, small pill they have with them.
In order that we may pass with honor the subject of divine qualities, we have to keep these precautions in our mind, that we should not be dissuaded, we should not be changing our way, having a diversion by the opinion of others, what others say. There is a huge contrast between what human beings have been saying and what God now says. They are diametrically opposed, 100% opposite to each other, between what God gives us the belief and what human beings have been teaching us. Therefore, the new world order can come. Otherwise, we have descended from golden age to silver age to copper age to iron age. And if we now again want to golden age, God alone establishes the golden age world, and we should totally follow His advice. not listen to the dark views of others. So, now about yoga, meditation. Actually, meditation is not the right translation for yoga. Yoga is much more than meditation, but generally these two terms are used synonymously, though wrongly. But now, if I use the word yoga, I am not going into the differences between these two. I just would say how to pass with honor this subject, namely yoga. One is that my love with God, because Baba said yoga is a love link. It is a love link with God. People have been defining yoga in various ways, but Baba also has given many definitions of yoga. But one of the most important which Baba has been asserting upon is yoga is a love link. Total love lean ho jana, to merge in the love of God is yoga. To merge in the love of the Supreme Being, considering Him as our father, mother, teacher, having all the relationships with Him, our friend and so on. This is yoga. So, if our mind is divided, we have love with other things and we want to become perfect yogis, we cannot become. We have to become nyara from others, pyara with God, love for God, and to be detached from others, and to be totally focused, concentrated upon Shiv Baba's remembrance. That is what yoga is. So those who will pass with honors will be those who have very deep, very, very deep, unshakable love link with Shiv Baba. Then Baba says become nirantar yogi, constant yogi. Yoga should be constant. Now it is very difficult. Sakar Baba himself admitting in Murlis sometimes that he thinks that today when he will take his lunch or dinner, all the time he will remember Shiv Baba, but that something happens and he forgets about it. He confesses. So he says, at least have this yoga 8 hours a day, dividing the day into 3 parts, 8 part for rest, not all for sleep. You see, don't sleep for 8 hours, then you will be sleeping in the lap of Kumbhakarna, you see. Not that way. 8 hours, not that our heart works for 8 hours, but that it can bear the strain of work for 8 hours very easily. So 8 hours for work, if we do it with sincerity, not in a lazy fashion, when we put our mind completely to work, work, work and work, that kind of work, efficiency, production, excellence, that kind of work. So he says 8 hours should be good quality yoga. Now, this is the rough division, not that very accurate 100%, but just giving us some sort of thing, keeping it before us how we should do. If we just, then again he says, if you just practice yoga for some time, then you are not yogi. Your yoga must be constant. So how these two statements are reconciled, that we should be constant yogi and that we cannot become constant yogis? We should become constant yogis, but we are not constant yogis, or it is difficult to be constant yogis. How to meet these two things, you see, together, synthesize these. Then Baba says there is 4 kinds of yoga, you see, that can make us a constant yogi. What is that 4 kind of yoga? One is that I focus my mind on Shiv Baba, I concentrate my mind on Shiv Baba. That is one kind of yoga. As at Amrit Vela, I am just in seed stage, Bija Roop Avastha, in Karmatit Avastha, you see, whatever other name you may like to give it, that kind of stage. When mind is totally absorbed in the remembrance of Shiv Baba, there are thoughts only of Shiv Baba and not anything
belonging to this world, you see. So this is the most important kind of yoga for destroying our past karmic account and bringing complete change in ourselves and giving us many other benefits which are very essential, without which we cannot be totally absolved above our past, all negativities. This is one thing. And the second is that when Baba says, when a person comes, for example, just to take 1 week course, at that time maybe that he is not able to stabilize his mind in the remembrance of Shiv Baba. So what is the minimum? What I have told you is the maximum, you see. The highest limit. As they say, sky is the limit. So in this case, Paramdham is the limit. You can be in Paramdham in as much time as you like, just stabilizing your mind on Shiv Baba, the incorporeal state, considering the soul as incorporeal, that you are an incorporeal being, you completely detach yourself from your body, think that you are a point of light and might, and think that there is a point of light over there in Paramdham, and both are linked. This is the important thing. This is the highest. Then the lowest is, Baba says, Sudarshan Chakra Ghumao. She gave me the wheel, you know. So, that wheel should be the Sudarshan Chakra. What is that? Golden age, silver age, copper age, iron age. How the soul passed into 84 lives in these 4 yugas, plus Sangam Yuga, the 5th yuga. And if you think of it, then also you think that Shiv Baba comes in Sangam Yuga, in the confluence era. He comes from Paramdham, that he is a point of light. Then you think of yourself also as a soul, which has been giving up one body, taking another, and moving and traveling from age to age. You see, it is the soul which has been doing it, giving up one form and taking up another. So then also you are conscious of soul, soul conscious, in another different way, in an easy way, because it is something like a story, round and round story, again and again, what happened. Then, as the child says, the grandma gives a story to the child before going to sleep. There was a king and there was a queen. They loved each other well. There was a garden. There were beautiful flowers. There was a lake. Then the child says, and then what happened? Then he says this, that and the other thing. Then what happened? Then she says this, then what happened? And ultimately the child goes to sleep. And that was the real aim of the grandma, isn't it? Because the child did not sleep, therefore she wanted to give him a good story, so that he begins to dream. And when he goes into the dream and dream and dream and dream, he goes into the sleep. Sometimes the dream comes after the sleep. Now she is going to give the dream before the sleep, so that she may go into sleep. Baba also, like grandpa, gives us a story, Sudarshan Chakra, which never finishes, you see. Then what happens? Again I come to the golden age. Then what happens? Again silver age. What happens? Oh, again copper age. Didn't I tell you? Ultimately I go to sleep. So, even if you go to sleep, Baba says before going to sleep, you should be soul conscious. So after doing this Sudarshan Chakra, you will be at least soul conscious before you sleep. So satisfactory result, you will pass with honors, you know. So this is one way of doing this yoga in an ordinary way. If your mind is disturbed, you can't think of anything else. You can't have that Bijroop and Bindurup stage. At least do this Sudarshan Chakra, you see. And then another is Avyakta Swarup. You just go to the subtle region, talk to Avyakta Brahma or Shiv Baba there. Whatever comes to your mind, talk to him. Just re-channelize it, redirect it. Have a kind of a chit-chat with Baba. And if there is a problem, talk to him. instead of thinking, what will I do, this cannot be solved, I am an unlucky person, more and more problems come to me, this, that and the other thing, why you are telling me, tell Shiv Baba, you see, that is the only difference. If you want to speak, your mind is full of certain disturbances, instead of looking here, look here, you see, that is the only difference. Shiv Baba, yes, dear child, what do you want to say? He said, there are so many problems, so what are those problems, my dear child? You see, he will say, Baba, this person disturbs me too much. Child, I'll take care of him, you don't worry. You see, I see that he is giving me love. You see, this is yoga. You see. And if you talk to Jagdish Bhai instead of talking to Shiv Baba, that is not yoga. You see. Talk to him. You see. Now you think it is easy? Sudarshan Chakra easy? This one easy or that Sudarshan Chakra? Which one is more easy? Which one is more easy? Both, sir. Flowers come out of my pocket. It is magic, you see? People think that I am not a magician. I can take a rabbit out of it. Should I? Should I take a rabbit out of it? Sure. That means you are not interested in yoga. You are interested in rabbit. No, no. For that, I will have to give a different class in which I show the rabbit. The topic has to be changed. But this is the topic about passing with honors. You know? If we want to pass with honors, we have not to think of rabbits, you know. That is the second way, that go to Avyakt Dham. And talk to Baba there, good things, and even those things which disturb you, and have the answers from him, put your problems to him, get the solutions from him. This will bring you near him. This will establish some kind of companionship, some kind of relationship, and that the burden is off your chest. And even in that process, you will find that you feel detached, more and more detached. Because you are thinking of the subtle thing. The law is that if you think of the grass thing, your stage becomes grass. If you think of the subtle thing, your stage becomes subtle. If you think of the incorporeal, your stage becomes incorporeal. So at least you are thinking of the subtle. It is something near to yoga. And the other is that if at all you can't stabilize your mind in anything at all, today there is so much of depression or dejection or rejection or suggestion, whatever it is, you see. Have some music, have some songs about Baba, read some Murli, something. That will also remind you of the soul and God and all, and at least that will also be soul conscious stage. So this is at least how you can be a constant yogi. Or do some churning. Take a point from Murli what Baba gave this today in the morning and think on it. Go deep into it. What happens is that again you will become soul conscious because it is a point given by Shiv Baba. You think that it was in the Murli. So you are being directly or indirectly conscious of the Shiv Baba's love and all that relationship. And this will again uplift you and take you to a higher and higher stage of yoga. So this is about passing yoga, the subject of yoga with honors. Now service, the fourth subject. Baba says, Mansa Seva, service through mind. This is what you can do. You see, this is a sign of those who pass with honors. And this you can discuss under the subject yoga, as well as under the subject seva, that is service. Even when you want to do yoga, if you want to become constant yogis, not only yogis for 8 hours or 4 hours or 2 hours, then also one of the ways of becoming constant yogi is that you try to do Mansa Seva. That will give you a very powerful stage. Baba says you have to purify even the elements, the five elements of nature, of matter, you know. And if you just think that Shiv Baba is dropping light and might on you, the very strong torrents and currents of light and might descending on you from above, being sent by Shiv Baba, and through you traveling in all directions and bringing transformation to the whole world, you will find yourself very, very powerful stage. So that is one of the ways of being constant yogi. And so far as the subject of yoga is service is concerned, this is one of the most essential. Those who will pass with honors, they will do much of the time Mansa Seva. That is the most powerful way of doing service. Other service, kinds of service are the little bit grosser, not as powerful as Mansa Seva. Just experiment with it. Try for it. A student is not coming to the class. You think of him. That brother has not come to the class. He is missing that opportunity. You think of him. And just try to give him vibrations, those thought currents, and you will find that he will come. So isn't it that through that method you have served him well, so that he becomes again coming and a regular student. Because Baba says you have to do Ahvan. Ahvan means calling. You have to call people. When we went first of all to foreign countries for service, we asked Baba, there are no centers abroad and you are sending us. What we are supposed to do in those places? And before going there, what preparation we should make? Now, while explaining us what preparation we should make, the first thing he said was, do Ahvan, call the souls, so that you invite the souls before you come. Suppose you have some conference, have something, ceremony, some festival. What you do is, you send invitation cards, isn't it? Or you telephone people that you are having this guest and come and meet him, have a dinner with him, you know. So, you first of all invite people. So, in Hindi or Sanskrit, we say Ahvan. Ahvan means not sending some printed thing, but through mind you call them. Invocation is altogether used for God, as a matter of fact. But you can say we use it for human beings. So, we just invite them mentally. Call them mentally. It is a call to those people. Just as you make a telephone call, a telegraphic call, you send some telephonic message or some fax message. So, you send this kind of mental message to them so that they come. We said, Baba, we don't know those people. In this case, we know people, know their address, we invite them. So, how we invoke or call or send messages to those people whom we have not seen, with whom we have no connection? Then Baba said, it is not necessary. Those will receive the message who have to come. You don't bother about it. You just think, we are coming, we are coming, we are coming. You please come, you see. We want to give you the message, you see. Take this message. It is Shiv Baba's message. Like that. You just sit in meditation, think of Shiv Baba, be in powerful state, and call those people. And then you will have successful result. And that actually happened, you see. That is what you must have had experience, many of you. Or some of you who haven't done this, try it. You will have all this kind of experience. So what happens is, when this mind, Mansa Seva, is very important. Even those who come to the class, to whom you read the Murli, or to whom you give some literature, you go on certain days to meet people and introduce your institution to them. If before that and after that, after meeting, before meeting and after meeting, you see, If you don't do Mansa Seva, it will be finished. Like when you sow the seed, you have to prepare the ground. And after sowing the seed, you have to water it to take care of it and so on. Then only it will survive. Otherwise, it will be eaten away by the sparrows. It will rot, it will finish. So what you have to do is, this Mansa Seva is very important. Baba has been drawing our attention again and again to this subject, to which we have not, done much effort. So, this is the highest kind of service which we can do. Even a person is in bed, having some kind of ailment, cannot do any physical thing, and this through a word of mouth, cannot give message, cannot do any other kind of effort in any other way. This Mansa Seva can be continuous. And we observed Baba when he was in Sakar form, doing Mansa Seva. Mansa Seva. Always getting vibrations from him. And this is what really sustains, this is what really is nurturing, you see. This we must do. So those who will pass with honors, they would be doing this, you see. In order that we may pass with honors, we have to pay attention to this and do this. Then, in seva, in service, we should not hanker after the fruit, the results, niswarth seva. Not only that, we should not be fond of name and fame after doing service, try to have some credit for it, try to have some praise for it, to win accolades from people for it, that we have done something wonderful, something great. Sometimes what we do is, you will find letters coming from people. Baba did wonders, you see. And actually what they say is, want to say that we did wonders. Ultimately comes to same, if you read the whole of it. Not only that should not be our aim, but actually, what we should do is, whatever is the result, we are happy. We want to do the service to the best of our ability. Put your hard effort into it. Not that we should be lazy. Sometimes maybe that if you are running a Gita Pathshala, having a small center or sub-center, some number of students are coming, some stay, others don't stay. The other center has number of students, a large number of students. At your center, you have a small number of students. So this may give you some kind of a feeling that your efforts are not bearing fruit, you see. What is it that lacks in you? Of course, we have to pick up certain things which are not in us. We have to improve our ways, learn from others. That is different. But whatever happens, Baba says this knowledge is immortal. The seeds sown by you will not perish. Maybe in the long run they come to you. We have seen some people coming after 10 years, some people coming after 5 years. After doing the 1 week course, they don't come. Some even did 3 days course. They did not complete this 1 week course. They went away, but after some time they come. Because the peace you gave them, the feeling you gave them, the love you gave them, the way you treated them, the spiritual knowledge which you talked about with them, that was so wonderful. It was indelibly written in their mind. That has not perished. Because it is Shiv Baba's seed. Shiv Baba is immortal, and his words are also immortal. If you have sown them in their mind, really sown them, how to sow a seed is a different subject. But if you have really done this, don't bother. So you should not be shaken in your state. Why it is not happening like this? Just in a mood, mournful mood. Don't be like that. But how to sow the seed, I was saying. One thing is that if you just give knowledge, you must have the full attention of the person. This process of learning depends upon attention. Without attention, there is no learning. If a person has come to receive 1 week course or knowledge or whatever, and that person is thinking of his problems at that time, his mind is wandering away, though his ears are there, the words are going inside, and the electrical impulses are reaching his brain, but catching nothing, nothing sticking there, it is because his attention is not there. Only his body is there. What you do is, where the seed has to be sown. The seed has not to be sown on the stone. It will perish. It has to be sown in the soil, you know, cultivable land. Not that kind of land which will eat the seed also. The seed is also gone and no fruit also there. So, the first thing is that you must have his full attention. How to have his full attention is a lengthy thing. But what I want to say is, you must have his full attention, and if you have given that injection to him in full attention, never, never think that that person, that this knowledge will not bear fruit. One day or the other, this person will again come to knowledge. So, he has already become a child of Baba. He will come to the dynasty, you see. The time for his bhakti is not complete. He has to go and learn it, perhaps in a bitter way. Some other adverse circumstances come in his life and then he comes, you see, after receiving some shock treatment. But you must keep it in mind, that man must come back, you see. It will certainly. So, do the service in such a way, put your full into it. How to explain? What will I explain? What does this person require? Don't do service in a haphazard way, in a half-hearted way. Prepare your thing, what you want to say. Do it in a proper way and make it grow. You know that experiment when that man in London on the stage said, grow that seed, you know, it sprouted. Previously he used to say go or bend, but then he said grow, began to grow. If strong with strong willpower you say, this man has to come knowledge, how he does not come to knowledge, I will see. But if you have made a resolve, you are determined, you are giving him something, and why should he not come? You are not demanding anything from him, but the only thing is, everything is in a culture. Things are in a culture. Not this society's culture, this is one culture. You see, agriculture is also another culture. I agree, you agree, it is agriculture. You see? Isn't it? So somebody asks me, what are you doing? I say, I am an agriculturist. Oh, you know this agriculture? Yes, I agree, you agree, we are agriculture. This is agriculture. But the other culture is, like you know, in medical sciences, you prepare culture of certain things. Similarly, in agriculture also, you prepare culture. Then only you sow. That is why it is called like that. So, this knowledge will grow when certain injections are also mixed with certain things. Medicines are also given some kind of a culture, you know. So, when you give this knowledge, give love. Speak with love. Don't think it is your formality, you are a teacher, anybody comes and you have to give the knowledge. Knowledge, not alone knowledge, knowledge with love. Knowledge with care. Knowledge with good wishes. Knowledge with a resolve, with some determination. Knowledge in a powerful way. Knowledge in a yog-yukta stage. Just say, body and soul are two different things. Not merely explaining body and soul are two different things. Anyone could explain. Just give a man, say about $1,000 per week, and he would explain it so well, making some diagrams. Body and soul are together, different things, you know. But you also exist in that stage. Your soul is detached from the body. not your soul, you the soul. You see? Let me correct myself. You the soul are detached from your body. And in that stage you tell him that body and soul are two different things. Then he gets the feel. The feeling must be there. Then only there is the impact. Then only the thing will stick. It will stay, it will last. Otherwise it will go into the air. What you said has gone to the winds. So do the service in a proper way, not in a haphazard way. You want to do a conference, you want to do a seminar, you want with a full heart way. You see, put your every energy into it. Make it, take it into success. Baba is the supreme. Your service should be supreme. Its standard should not be low, you see. It should be a high standard kind of thing. From every point of view, it should be very excellent, you know. That kind of service. If you want to make Baba Prataksh, glorify Baba, that will be done through your actions, you know. You should do it in such a way, people feel, oh, it is a conference with a difference. The atmosphere was surcharged with love. Nobody wanted to gain anything. Everybody was in a spirit of giving something, you see. There was a family feeling. We didn't feel that we were strange. It was an experience for us. They don't want to go back. They were saying that it is very difficult to them spare 3 days. But when they come here, they say, can you change my ticket? Get me another kind of booking. So you want to go late? I wanted to stay for another 2 days. Now he wants to stay. Why? Because that feeling is there. So this is the result. Do service with that point of view. Then the overall thing is that those will pass with honors who, what do you say, Balihar, who sacrifice their everything for Baba, who have got their full mind devoted to Baba, who have no reservations of their mind, who love Baba wholeheartedly, completely, fully, you see, without any corner of their mind being occupied with something different, worldly, material, transitory or whatever, you see. So those will pass with honors. Because if you want to study, study like a student. Because those who want to pass with honors, they always consider themselves as students. Even if the institution gives them the label of being a teacher, of a center, or a sub-center, or a region in charge, or in India a zone in charge, this or that, you see, of a departmental head, of doing some administrative work, of being the vice president, the president, or the secretary, whatever. First and foremost, we are students. This is Ishwariya Vishwavidyalaya, a university, an institution of education, where God is the teacher. He is our preceptor. He gives us the knowledge. If this is our attitude, then only we learn. And let us be a little bit serious. In this sense, Jagdish Bhai is already serious. Many people say he is very serious. And now I am saying, yes, little become little serious. God is the greatest teacher, the highest teacher. There cannot be time of anyone more valuable than God's time. He is spending so much time on us, the most highest authority, spending so much on our education. Himself coming to speak from such a great distance, giving us these valuable, imperishable gems of knowledge, without charging us anything, just for the love He has for us, to improve our status, to take us to the golden aged world, to remove our all sufferings and sorrows. That is what He is doing for us. And if we are not respectful to Him, not respectful to Him, not only not we can pass with honors, but we are deceiving ourselves. That is the greatest folly of a man. It is the greatest foolishness in the world, not to give full respect even to the person who is the highest. And how to give respect to Him is when He teaches what He teaches, the way He teaches, must be learnt, because it is for us. For us, He is doing so much. So, the attention should be on this yoga, knowledge, service. Nothing without attention. What is yoga? Yoga is attention on God and the soul. It is attention. Focused attention on a particular center. And what is the divine qualities? If you pay attention that I will have patience, I will have tolerance, I will have contentment and so on. Attention again. Without attention, there can be no learning, no teaching. And there cannot be grasp of knowledge. There can be no cognition, no experience, no emotional change, no improvement in the self. Attention is the most important thing. Hello students, attention please. The first thing when the teacher comes to the class is attention. Attention on the blackboard. Then the student can see what is being written on the board. Otherwise his mind is in the football ground. And the teacher is writing something over there. The eyes are open. He is looking at that, but learning nothing. Why? Because his attention is there. So attention is the foremost thing. You have to heighten this attention. Heighten this attention, thinking that it is the highest source of knowledge, the truth personified, God is truth personified, the quality, the divine virtue personified, the yoga personified, the humility, the service motive personified. He himself, our Lord, our beloved, our most beloved father, mother, teacher, preceptor, our very love has come to teach us. You see, we must pay attention. Without attention, there can be no passing with honors. Om Shanti. Thank you.